Good morning again.
Good morning.
Okay, so Bill Littman came to me and said, would you speak? And I said, oh, here we go again. God's pushing me out of my realm of expertise or my realm of comfort or my realm of wanting to do things the way I want to do them. And God has, I guess, kept me alive. So it must mean that he's going to use me this morning. I wonder sometimes why he would choose me, just to get that out there. I am a sinner in need of a Savior on a daily basis. From the time I get up in the morning to when I go to bed, my total reliance is on the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the faithfulness of God for me to make it through the day. It's not because of anything that I do or anything that I've done that I'm able to speak before you. It's because God has given me an opportunity to share how good he's been to me. So I want to do that today. We'll start off by doing that with prayer. Father God, you're awesome. You go so far beyond our imagination, so far beyond what we are capable of. It's one of the ways we know that you're in control. Father, please guide our words this morning. Help us not to sink into any type of realm that would put us before you. We want you to come out front. Please, Father, help folks to see Jesus. Father, use me. Use each of us this morning so that we might draw closer to you. We want to know you more. We want to love you more. So, Father, please bless this morning. Thank you so much for calling us your children. We're just in love with you, Lord. And it's our hope, Father, that you would prick some soul today, that you would minister to someone in a way that would draw them closer to you. Thank you for this opportunity. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so I put on my glasses because I can't see without them. They help me look a little more dignified. It kind of helps out because people are like, oh, look, he looks like he's that. It doesn't really help when you get ready to speak. It looks good, but it doesn't do anything for the speaking. But I do believe that I have something to share with you that you'll be able to use. And one of the reasons why I've chosen this topic this morning, a friend of mine told me his wife said to him that, you know, if you're going to use something to talk about, maybe you should use something that you need to hear. Maybe you need to speak on something that's going to be what you need in your life. And so I'm going to speak on something that you need in your life. And I'm hoping that in that message that I need to hear, some of it you will hopefully relate to and want to use in your own lives too. That's to let you know that God is speaking to me as well as you. How do we know what love is? How do we really know what love is? For today, we want to use the Bible as a guide, and where I worship, we've been studying the fruit of the Spirit, where we were studying the fruit of the Spirit. And so I really got into it, and I really want to pull something out of that. So let's take a look at Galatians 5, 22 through 26. The Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This morning, I'd like to take a look at kindness. Kindness. It's one of the attributes, one of the traits or characteristics, evidences of love. If you see kindness, it means that somewhere love is hanging out. I'm teaching this class online, and it's called The Philosophy of Love. I'm not the love doctor. It's very difficult to teach philosophy of love without having God as being the core of what's going on, because God is that's absolutely right. And so for a text, we want to look at what we call the love chapter. And that's 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5. The Bible says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. There is a contrast between the English translations or descriptions of love and the Greek properties of the word agape. Agape is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. It really tells about an action. Agape love is active. And today we want to look at what love does. In 1 John 3:16 through 18, the Bible says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with action and in truth. Amen. Agape is selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. Agape love is active. It does not simply feel patience. It practices patience. It doesn't simply have kind feelings. It does kind things. It doesn't just recognize the truth. It rejoices in the truth. Today we're going to look at kindness. And I think in order to really look at it, we have to really understand love till we begin to apply it to our lives. We really can't really understand what kindness is. We can really truly begin to understand love when we take these practical principles and apply them. That's what Paul is asking us to do in 1 Corinthians. He's asking us to measure our lives against those characteristics of love. Here's a story for you. There's this guy, his name is Robert Ingersoll. In the last century, he was a well-known atheist. And this guy would go to lectures and, you know, he'd talk about how God wasn't real, how there is no God. And in the midst of talking, he would say out loud, I'll give God 5 minutes to strike me dead for what I've said. Boldly, he would say this. After talking and putting down God, he'd say, I'll give God 5 minutes. And that was supposed to be his way of proving that that God did not exist, because God wouldn't strike him dead in 5 minutes. So this gentleman by the name of Theodore Parker says that about Ingersoll's claim, he said, and did this gentleman think he could exhaust the patience of the eternal God in 5 minutes? 5 minutes, you know? And sometimes I think that we do that, you know. We think that because we do something wrong and we don't get right back up and start serving God, we think that we've exhausted God's love, his patience. I don't know if that's possible like that. Just wanted to throw that at you. Since the time of Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed him, God has been continually wronged by his creation, by us, the ones he made in his image. But God is patient. And, well, here's another story for you. This story is about Abe Lincoln. You know, one of his earliest political enemies was a guy named Edwin Stanton. And he called Lincoln a low, cunning clown. And he called him the original gorilla. He would actually say it's ridiculous to go it's ridiculous to go to Africa to see a gorilla. Why would you do that? You could go right over to Springfield, Illinois. There's one there. And he would actually say these things about Lincoln, but Lincoln never responded to the slander. And in fact, when it was time for Lincoln to choose someone to be his Secretary of War, he chose Stanton. And when asked why he chose Stanton, he said, because he's a good man. He's a good man, and I think he's right for the job. It was later said that when the slain president laid in state, his body in the coffin there, Stanton came, and Stanton, with tears in his eyes, looked into the coffin, and through his tears he said, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." So I'd say this story, I give you this story to let you know that Lincoln's long suffering was noted. His patient love won out on that man's heart. Being kind, I'm saying this slow because I want this to sink a little bit. Being kind is the counterpart of being patient. They're linked. They're tied in together. The reason why I mention these two stories with these people and bringing out patience, I believe that just as patience will take anything from others, kindness will give anything to others, even our enemies. Being kind is a counterpart of being patient. When Jesus commanded his disciples, this means us, to love your enemies, he didn't simply mean to have like a kind of goodwill statement, "Oh, I love you with the love of the Lord." I don't think that's what Jesus meant. In fact, I know that's not what he meant. You know what he meant? He meant if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. That's what Jesus meant. He meant action. What an opportunity we have to show God's love to a dying world through kindness. Colossians 3:12-14 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Okay, you're saying, okay, Barry, sometimes it's just too hard for me to get outside of myself. Listen, church. Do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads to repentance? That's Romans 2:4. Peter tells us we should long for the pure milk of the word and thereby grow in respect to salvation, because we have tasted the kindness of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:2-3. Where I'm from, we sing this song. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter. I will not faint. He is my shepherd. I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I love that song. I love this because sometimes you have a rough day and you have to kind of remember who you are and the attributes that you have through the love of the Lord. So that's why I love that song. It's because of love that I can sing that. Jesus, because of Jesus. Those are interchangeable, you know. To his disciples, Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The word he used for easy is the same one translated kind. 1 Corinthians 13:4, and his love for those of us who belong to him, he makes his yoke kind or mild. For some of us who are, you know, young, and some of us that are from way up north, we don't know too much about what a yoke is. A yoke is a wooden beam normally used between a pair of oxen or other animals to enable them to pull together on a load when working in pairs. So oxen usually do. Some yokes are fitted to individual animals. I don't know if you all got that. He isn't speaking here about physical burdens. Rather, it was the heavy burdens of the system of works that the Pharisees laid on the backs of the people that Jesus was offering to relieve. What makes Jesus' yoke easy and his burden light is that in Jesus' own active obedience, his perfect fulfillment of the law of God, he carried the burdens that we were meant to carry. I don't know about you, but for me, that's a pretty heavy statement that Jesus is carrying the burdens that I was meant to carry. Maybe it's because I have some heavy ones, and there's no way I could carry them by myself. So I defer to Jesus because I can't do it on my own. But maybe that's just me. I need this. His perfect obedience is applied to us through faith, just as his righteousness was exchanged for our sins at the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So our obedience to Jesus then becomes our spiritual worship. Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. The Holy Spirit works in our lives to mold us into the image of Christ, making the yoke of Jesus easy and the burden light. The life lived by faith is a burdensome yoke of self-righteousness under which we continually strive to make ourselves acceptable to God through works. Haven't you heard the song? His yoke is easy, his burden is light. I found it so. You all ever heard that song?
Yeah.
Okay. You have watched me for some time now stand up here. And I went through my written script lesson because I feel we have to refer to the Bible. And I believe that we need to hear what Jesus has to say. So now I want to come a little bit closer to home. Okay. You know, this is where kindness begins, in the home. Husbands to your wives, to your children, brothers and sisters, children, parents, what goes on in the home. This is one of those things where I think we all kind of just, we kind of fake it. So I'm hoping that for a minute, I want you to kind of break through that. So I had a rough week. I want to apologize. I think I did, but I'll say it publicly. I was rough on Deb. I said some things. They weren't bad things. I didn't say bad things, but my attitude was wrong. It was wrong. I just didn't say it right. There was no kindness in it. Damaris, I'm sorry. She looked at me and saw I was off. And she said, "You're off." It wasn't that I said something that was mean. It was my heart. She could see my heart. It was not right. My heart wasn't right. And I'm sharing this because I really believe that if anybody here is like me, it means that sometime during this week, you were at home with someone. And it's not that you said anything bad to them, but were you really kind? Was it rooted in love? How you expressed yourself to that person, did it really reflect Jesus? Is that what they saw? I think one of the things that's very difficult for me, I have to talk about me, is that I forget. I get so comfortable and I forget that she's dependent upon me to do what's right in order for her to stand too. So when my attitude is right, when I say something kind to Damaris and my attitude is right, she has a model to do what's right herself. So I come into a church building, there's people sitting in front of me. I already know that some of us are wearing masks. I already know that some of us have not been kind to one another. My hope is that at some point during this day, you will go to God, ask God to please guide you in that area. And then whoever that person is or people that you are around that you love so dearly, it's my hope that they will actually get to see Jesus in you, get to see that kindness that's tolerant and patient, that's rooted in love. Don't you want to be like that? I got an easy way for you to do that. You got to get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You have to do what Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. That's the key, is to make sure that you remember how God is with you. So, I'm hoping that something I said helped you. When families love one another, they actually love one another. It's an action. It's not, oh, I love you with the love of the Lord. It's when that person is not right, you go to them and you say to them, hey, we need to talk about this because I love you. I want to be kind to you and I want you to be kind to me. Let's keep our relationship right. Stop and pray about it. Go to God about it together. All right. I didn't want to bore you. I'm hoping that something I said helped you. Somebody told me that whenever you finish a lesson, I'm not a speaker. You know, this is a speaker. I sing, and I barely do that at times. Somebody told me though, when you give a lesson, there has to be this turning point. The turning point comes when I tell you that there is a Savior who lived a perfect life. And he didn't have to do this, but he actually took on my sin, went to the cross, died on the cross. He was buried. And then you know what he did? He rose from the grave. And then he told me, I can do that. That death cannot hold me. That God can do the same with me. That same power to raise Christ from the dead is given to me. So I want to make sure that you know that. I want to be sure that you know that that's the reason why we meet. That's the reason why we're kind, why we're patient, why we're loving, why we try to exercise the fruit of the Spirit, is because we want to be like Jesus. Not just be like Jesus and learning how to be kind, be like Jesus when they bury us in the ground. And when he comes back, we get up like he did. Amen. That's the hope that we have. So that's my lesson for you. I guess we'll stand and sing a song.